turn to the book, the Revelation. Revelation chapter number 1. Last week we did an introduction to the book of Revelation, so we really didn't get any verses. Just a overview or introduction. I may just touch on just a few of those things again, because repetition is the key to learning. The book of Revelation, one of the main verses is verse number 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. That's what we're doing. We're reading, and we're hearing the words of the prophecy of this book. And there's a special blessing imposed upon us for doing so. John is the writer. He's writing from the Isle of Patmos. And this is written about 95 AD under a Roman emperor named Domitian. And so we'll look at a few things. Don't forget, this is your proper layout of the book of Revelation. It is a pre-tribulational, pre-millennial view of the layout of the book of Revelation. You'll see, just look at this one. You've got chapters 1, 2, and 3. You've got 7 churches, starting with Ephesus all the way to Laodicea. We'll talk more about those in a little bit. And then you have the rapture of the church. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, I saw a door open in heaven, and a voice said, come up hither. And the church leaves out. And then there's 7 years of tribulation. I know this is not the scale, but there's 7 years there. It's called Daniel's 70th week. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel chapter number 9, verse 25. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, the nation of Israel. That's who it's for. The church won't be going through the tribulation period because it's for the Jew. It's not for the church. And Romans 5:9 says, God hath not appointed us to wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God hath not appointed us to wrath. So we're going up here, just like Enoch went up in chapter 5 of Genesis before the flood came. Just like Lot, his family got out before the fire fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. All through the Bible, there's pictures and types of a pre-tribulational rapture view of the book of Revelation. Then, the second coming of Christ. Here's something you need to remember. There's a difference between the rapture and the second coming. The rapture is where we go to meet him in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 15. We go to meet him in the air. Jesus is not coming to this earth. We're going to meet him in the sky. Amen. That's the rapture of the church. And he's only coming for the saved, the body of Christ, the church. That's who's going up here. Those who are left behind that do not know Christ will go through those 7 years of tribulation. Then the second coming of Christ is where the rapture is where the Lord comes for his saints. The second coming is when he comes with his saints. We'll come back with him. The white horse, he will come to this earth and touch down the Mount of Olives. That's where he left from in Acts chapter number 1. This is where he will come back to. On the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives was split. He'll ride that white horse down to Jerusalem through the eastern gate, and he'll sit down on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Amen.
And it's forever and ever and ever. King of kings and Lord of lords. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited about that. But that's what we're looking to. That's what we're looking for. So you'll see the book of Revelation is divided into 3 things. The things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be. Those 3 things divide the book of the Revelation. One thing, after chapter number 4, you don't see a church, a mention of a church, no church anywhere, until a door comes open again in Revelation 19. There's another thing you might want to remember of a pre-tribulational rapture view the rapture of the church. So, here we have it. That's the layout. And we remember those things. Several different things we talked about last week. I'll just touch on those. We'll move on. There are 3 applications of Scripture. There's a historical application. There's a spiritual application. And a doctrinal application. The spiritual, excuse me, the historical application is these seven churches that John wrote to actually did exist. Those churches there, you'll see Patmos is down here to the, if you're looking, it's going to be down to your left, Patmos. And John could see out over those seven churches there in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. Those churches actually did exist in history. A spiritual view, a spiritual application view, is that these churches, these seven churches, represent seven different time periods within the age of the church. Even for instance, when Jesus ascends up, you have the church in Ephesus. That's the early church. Then Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and those time periods. I'll give, for instance, Philadelphia. The time period of the Philadelphia church is around 1600. 1600 to 1900. Well, think about this. Philadelphia means open door. Well, in 1630, our forefathers come over here to an open door, to a place called Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, and evangelism goes crazy in an open door here in America. The age that we're living in right now is the Church of Laodicea. The Church of Laodicea, right before the rapture takes place, the Church of Laodicea. Laodicea means civil rights. Everybody has rights and God has none. Everybody wants their rights. And in Laodicea, God says, you're neither cold nor hot. You make me sick. I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's the age we're living in today. When Walmart can take away guns out of their stores, stop selling ammunition, and will keep selling alcohol. There's something wrong in America somewhere. When drunk drivers kill more people. Somebody help me right there. We are in a messed up society. When we think a gun kills somebody. But you got that person, get them a bottle of something, whatever, and get behind the wheel. Give them a little pat on the hand. Don't do it no more.
Right?
Well, hallelujah. Ain't we having fun at the chapel tonight? That got me stirred up on this early the other night. That is what we call a spiritual application view. And then we'll get to the doctrinal application view, which is those seven churches. Those seven churches are what we call tribulational churches. Those churches, I'll give you for instance, I said this last week and we'll move on. We won't spend a lot of time on this. But last week, think, if the rapture was to take place right now, the trumpet sounds, everybody in this room that is saved will be caught up.
Amen.
Gone.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I'm hoping everybody in here is saved. I hope. But let's just say half the crowd stays in their seat. Christ Church Baptist Fellowship will still have church this Sunday.
Right.
And it will be full of people. Matter of fact, they will enter into a building program the first Sunday to build a bigger building to hold the people that will come. Just like after September the 11th, churches are full. But you say the Lord comes tonight, and I'm telling you, every church in Dyersburg will be full Sunday. And they will be considered a church that is in the tribulation period. Those people that missed out and didn't get saved. I'll give you for instance. Let's just say the trumpet sounds right now and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be called up together and meet the Lord in the air and all of this. And somebody's left in the pew and they see us all gone. Well, guess what they're going to do? They're going to jump out. As a matter of fact, they're not even going to come down the aisle. They're going to jump over the seat and get down to this altar and say, "Oh, Lord, free seat." Well, guess what? Too late.
Amen.
You should have done that for the trumpet sound.
That's right. Amen.
And so that person, those people, will enter into the 7 years of Great Tribulation. So those seven churches would belong. And okay, I'll give you. All right. Maybe you might be scratching your head on that. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Some of these phrasings in these churches give the connotation that they are in the tribulation. In other words, by some of the phrase that you, being overcomer, enduring to the end. Those kind of things. Watch Revelation 2:7, the end of the church of Ephesus. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." I've never heard any preacher preach on that today. That if you will come to Christ, you'll eat of the tree of life and be an overcomer. No, that's a tribulational passage. Matthew 24:13. "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." That has nothing to do with us whatsoever today.
Amen.
Right.
That is a tribulation. If you'll look at the context of Matthew 24, it's referring to, matter of fact, forgot what verse. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, I think it's verse 24, I think. It talks about, and it gives you where we're talking about. Verse 13, which is before that, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Well, how many preachers have you ever heard try to put that on us today? Well, you got to endure to the end. I'm not enduring to the end. I'm trusting Christ.
Amen. Right.
Amen. I'm not enduring anything. I'm waiting on the Lord to come. So those people in the tribulation will have to endure to the end. That church in Ephesus will have to be an overcomer so they can eat of the tree of life in the millennium. Let's look at verse 26. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation." You'll see that? "Keep my works unto the end." The end of what? Till Jesus comes, the second coming. You have to rightly divide the word of truth. Look at chapter 3, verse 5. Here's the church of Sardis. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels." That sound weird to you? That's a tribulational passage.
Amen.
So, there you have the historical, the spiritual application, and the doctrinal application of what we're dealing with here. Now, let's go back to chapter number 1. And let me say this. For those of you that may be just joining us, we just started last week, obviously. We've got an introduction, and I'm going to try my best to get some more ground covered tonight. You look at the book of Revelation. Let me pull this up. You look at the book of Revelation. Here's what's so confusing about, if you can get this, the book of Revelation will make more sense to you. The first coming of Christ, when Jesus was born, there are four accounts of that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are not in chronological order.
Amen.
Mark doesn't pick up where Matthew leaves off. Luke doesn't pick up where Mark leaves off. John doesn't pick up where Luke leaves off. they're happening, their events are happening at the same time. Does everybody understand that? Matter of fact, the only miracle that Jesus performed was feeding the 5,000. It's in all four Gospels. He only done it once. He didn't do it four times. He did it once. But it's in four of the Gospels. There are four accounts of that. So, if that's true, if there are four accounts of His first coming, then there are four accounts of His second coming.
Right.
Which means you will take four trips through the tribulation period while you're reading the book of Revelation. I gave you this example last week, and I'll just touch on it. A three-ring circus. A guy's got a three, for our purposes tonight, let's say a four-ring circus. We got the monkeys and stuff over here. We got the clowns over there in another ring. And over here we've got, I don't know, the elephants and the tigers and the bears, oh my. And back there we've got, I don't know. So, well, the ringmaster is trying to tell everybody what's going on. He cannot tell you what's going on in all four rings at the same time. He has to say, and over here we have this going on. And at the same time over here we got this going on. You understand? John does the same thing. When you read the seven seals, in chapter number six, the seven seals in chapter six will take you all the way through the tribulation. By the time you get to seal seven, you're plumb through the end of the tribulation. So what are we going to do with the rest of the book? Well, where the seven trumpets start, he comes back and he goes, all right, let me back up and tell y'all what's going on over here in this other ring. And you're going to go through again, chapter 8, and so on and so forth. Y'all see what I'm saying? And then when you get to chapter 12, we go back, we go through again. You get to chapter 15, you go through again with the vials. The seals, the trumpets, the persons in the vials are all going on at the same time. Amen. The trumpets don't start after the seals start or stop. They're going on at the same time. Does that make sense? Now, some of you may say, well, that doesn't sound right. Well, it's happened before in the Bible. Think about this. In Genesis chapter number 1, God gives a creation. He created this whole thing. 6 days. The seventh day, He rested. Chapter 2, he goes back and gives you more information about the creation. He didn't do it twice. In chapter 2, he gives you more information about chapter 1. So he's already done it. So there's no reason not to believe that he can't do it again. You think about, there's so many. Daniel. I think it's Daniel 5, maybe, where Daniel starts talking about this image, the head of gold, talking about Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire and the Persians, meet the Persians, and all the way through the toes. Well, then in the next chapter, he goes back and gives you more information about what he just told you. So, this is what John's going to do. He's going to give you the tribulation, the seven seals, and he's going to say, all right, rewind now. Let me tell you, while that was going on over here in this ring, the seven trumpets were going on over there in that ring, and they were going on at the same time as the seals. Does that help?
Yep.
Now, I hope it does. Because, matter of fact, we might see this in a minute. But the second coming only happens once. But you'll read about the second coming four different times. You'll read about it in chapter 6, chapter 11, chapter 14, and chapter 19. And the common phrasing of the second coming is, the sun refused to shine, the moon turned to blood, the earth shaking like a mighty da 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 da. And the rocks, people cried out for the rocks to hide their face from the one that sits on the throne. That's the second coming. All right, any question or comment about that before we move further? I hope that's clear. Because once you get that, I'm not saying the book of Revelation is, it's like I said last week, the book of Revelation is easy to understand. Some of it's hard to believe. Some of it's hard to believe. But it's easy to understand once you get all that stuff laid out in its proper order. Now, let's look at chapter 1. Let's look at chapter 1 and verse 1. The book of Revelation has 22 chapters and about 404 verses. Look at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation is to reveal. That's what the book of Revelation, to reveal. It's like in the Old Testament, it was concealed. Daniel, there's some stuff Daniel couldn't tell us about. Well, the book of Revelation is the book of Daniel, part 2, with the veil open. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified. That word signified, the first part of signified is sign. 1 Corinthians tells us the Jews require a sign. And signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Given to John by the angel of the Lord. It's almost like you do understand Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph, the coat of many colors, is a picture and type of Jesus Christ. You remember when Joseph went in after his brother sold him after many, many, many years? Joseph goes in before his brother, his brethren comes into Joseph. Joseph is second in command, and they don't know him. They don't know who he is. And so Joseph makes everybody leave the room except his brother. And the Bible says he revealed himself to them. And they was like, man, we thought you was dead. You know, this is the way the Jews, the second coming, the Jews do not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They're still looking for him. And so they've been blinded to him being their Messiah. When he comes, second coming, they will say, and he will reveal himself, and they will fall down, crown the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, because that is the true Messiah. So that's what that revelation, that revealing, is talking about. Now, verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So that's what John is fixing to write about. Here's a special blessing. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, you remember over there, John wrote this, and John wrote St. John. In John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made, it was made. Well, that you see the similarity. Verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and testimony of Jesus Christ, all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, we look at verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Do y'all see that which was, which is, which was, which is to come? Jesus Christ. He was prophet. He was priest. He's king. He was prophet when he walked upon this earth. He was prophet. Right now, he's sitting at the right hand of God, being our high priest. Then he will come to second coming, and he will be king, kings and Lord of lords. Three offices. That which was, that which is, and that which is to come. That's why the three wise men, how many of them were, brought the three gifts. gold, king, frankincense, priest, myrrh, prophet. Myrrh is what you bury somebody with, and prophet died on the cross. Frankincense is something you put in that altar of incense. It's goes up before the Lord. It's a sweet smelling savor in the Lord. Priest, king, or gold is for the king. That's why they brought the three gifts to that baby, because of fulfilling those three offices: that which was, that which is, and that which is to come. Do you know Jesus only raised three people from the dead? Jairus' daughter, the widow named son, and Lazarus. That which was, that which is to come. A young, a middle, and an old. Wow, that book, that Bible is wow.
Amen.
And you can go all day. You can all go all day and do that. Isaiah got to see that which was. Isaiah chapter number 6. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Stephen got to see that which is. Stephen says, I looked and I saw him sitting at the right hand.
Amen.
Amen.
And John got to see that which is to come.
Amen.
I'm getting goosebumps on a Wednesday night. And we're not even supposed to do that on Wednesday night. We've got to save them for Sunday. That which was, that which is to come. Now, look at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Notice those three things. They match the three offices. The faithful witness matches the prophet. The first begotten of the dead is the priest. And the prince of the kings, that's the king. Y'all see that? The first begotten of the dead. You say, what does that mean? There are other people that were raised from the dead. I just mentioned three. Lazarus. That fellow that Paul raised from the dead. Eutychus. Remember the guy fell asleep while Paul was preaching? That's why you don't never fall asleep. You know,
amen.
That guy was sitting up in the window and fell asleep, fell out the window and broke his neck. And they said his name was Eutychus. Well, Eutychus too, if you'd have fell out that window that far. Anyway. And then there's all kind of people in the New Testament that died. But Jesus was the first begotten of the dead, which means he was the first to raise to never die again.
Right.
Lazarus was raised, he had to die again.
Right.
The widow of a named son was raped, had to die again. Yeah. Jairus' daughter had to die again. Jesus, the first begotten of the dead. That's what that means. He's the first that will die again. Let me say this. If you will trust in Jesus, you will never have to die again.
That's right.
Amen. You say, well, I know a lot of saved people that died. You don't know anybody saved and died. You say, well, I was at their funeral. Well, you may have been looking at an old house they used to live in.
Right.
But the last breath they took here, they never missed a beat. They took their next one in heaven.
Right. Amen.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, Paul said.
Amen.
So you've never seen a saved person die. You just seen them change addresses.
Right.
Hallelujah, that'll preach on something.
Amen.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now that is a good place to say amen.
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 He, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And that's pretty good. Look at verse number 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Made us kings and priests. That is a reference to the millennial reign of Christ. We, as the church, don't have time to go into in-depth right now, but we as the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, we will rule and reign with Christ. Bible says, if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. We will reign with Him as priests and kings. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we will be over certain things. To whom much is given, much is required. And so in the millennial, that will be going on in verse number 6. Made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. Notice, you say, how do you know that? To Him be glory and dominion. What's dominion? Domain. Kingdom. Domain. Forever and ever. Amen. And then verse 7 says, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. Now, there's only one guy that pierced Him. When He hung on the cross, there's only one guy that pierced Him. But Jesus laid that on the charge of all the whole nation of Israel. You will look upon Him whom you pierced. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see it. You say, how's every eye going to see it? Well, you ever watch the news? I mean, they got it now to where, you know, they're sitting in New York or wherever they're sitting in their studio, and then they go, all right, we're going to go to so-and-so, and he's in South Africa somewhere, and he's going to report on something going on, and boom, you're in South Africa. And then they come back to New York, he says, all right, we're fixing to go up to Canada and tell you about everything's going on up there, and, you know. Now let's jump down, we got a reporter down in Florida looking at this hurricane, whatever, and just in a matter of minutes, you're all over the world. Every eye's going to see it. And they also, which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him, even so, amen. Now, notice this is the second coming of Christ. Behold, every eye shall see Him. He cometh in cloud. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at Acts chapter number 1, real quick. Acts 1. This is where He left from. He left from the same spot. Acts chapter number 1, verse 8. I'm going to read till you get there for time's sake. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. When He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by Him in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, all Jews, by the way, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. That's talking about right here.
Yep.
He left from the same spot. Right here. That verse is not talking about here.
Amen.
It's talking about here. The rapture, He's not coming to this earth. He left from this earth standing. Ascended, and a cloud received Him up. Guess why He's coming back? A cloud, and He's coming back to the same, very same spot that He left from. And many other verses that we can look at. Matter of fact, it's Matthew 24. Amen. Matthew 24. About 27. 24, 27 of Matthew. For His lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming, where? In the what? Clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. Y'all see that? That's talking about the second coming. Verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Well, after the tribulation of those days, verse 29, what's coming? Second coming. Back to Revelation. Chapter 1. And verse 8. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Lord, we don't need to get hung up on that again. Prophet, priest, king. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. That's the first Greek letter and the last Greek letter of the alphabet. And it's not Alpha and Omega. It's not like that. It's like this. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Anywhere on that circle is the beginning and the end of that circle. Anywhere you touch on that circle is the beginning and the end. He's both. It's not he's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, anywhere on that circle. Hallelujah. Our alphabet, we call it our alphabet. Alpha. The next is beta. Alpha, beta. We get our alphabet. Anyway, never mind. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. There is a picture of the Isle of Patmos. That is a modern day view. You'll see houses and things of that nature over there to the left of that. It's actually a tourist place now, where you can go and tour all these places here. But at the time where John was, they exiled him here basically to die. And that's the Isle of Patmos. He's there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then what the Bible says in verse number 10 is about as far as I'll probably go tonight. In verse number 10, John talking, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in the book, and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, so on and so forth. Now, let me just deal with something. I finished up right here last week, so now... let me give you the verses on this. I've heard people say, John was in the Spirit on Sunday. Because Sunday's the Lord's day. Ladies and gentlemen, Sunday's not the Lord's day. Every day is the Lord's day. That's tradition. You hear that. You say, well, we meet together on the Sabbath. Well, I got news for you. Sabbath ain't Sunday either. Sunday's the first day of the week. And Sunday's not the Lord's day. Every day is the Lord's day.
Right.
Think about this. Every Christian is in the Spirit all the time. If he's living inside of you, you've got him with you all the time. So it's not like all of a sudden John got saved and he's in the Spirit on a Sunday. John got saved on Sunday. It's not, it won't work. It just don't work. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I've heard people say, man, we got in the Spirit. Boy, we're in the Spirit at church. And what they mean is, it's what they mean. They mean that it got wild and people were jumping pews and hanging off the fans and throwing song books and ran around the church, slapped three men, and which I'm for. Go outside and check the mail, come back and, throw a baby up in the air and then everybody, boy, we was in the Spirit. Boy, was in the Spirit. Yeah, you was in a Spirit, all right. Remember this. A person that's in the Spirit never draws attention to himself. The Holy Spirit draws attention to the Lord. So if you're getting more attention than the Lord, you're not in the right spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory! The Holy Spirit never, never, he always gives attention to the Lord. Always. And so, now, hey, I've been in some of those services let me just say this. Can y'all not tell when it's real and when it ain't?
Yes.
Okay. Amen. Well, then you know. Because I've been in both. Singing in the same group. Man, we've been up in the hills around there in East Tennessee. And son, we got to singing. And man, I'm telling you, I thought the snakes were coming out just any minute. And I'm thinking like old Wendy Bagwell says, you know, I'm looking for a door. I don't see one, and I'm thinking, where you want one at? Amen. And then I've been in those situations to where, I mean, it's the real deal.
Yeah.
And you can tell the difference. Being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day wasn't a Sunday. Now, let me say this. Let's define what the Lord's Day is. The Lord's Day is not a 24-hour period. It's as if you've heard this said before. Man, he was good at basketball back in his day. That's not a 24-hour period. That's an overall period of time. So, what I did for you for time's sake, I'm going to give you the verses. They're on the screen. I'm going to give you the verses. You write them down. This is Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 and verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon unto blood. Have y'all seen that phrasing before? We've already read some of that stuff. Before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. Y'all see that? The day of the Lord. Now, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. The day of the Lord. All the terminology that we've read thus far is pointing to the second coming of Christ. The terrible day of the Lord. Alright? Joel chapter 3 and verse number 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun, the moon shall be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shining. We saw that in Matthew 24 a while ago. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. Where's he coming? Right there. Mount Zion. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Right there. The day of the Lord. I'll give you another one. Zechariah 14. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Now we'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. That's the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 18. Battle of Armageddon. And that's what we're talking about right there. The day of the Lord. Remember I told you a while ago, he's coming back to the Mount of Olives. Verse 4, Zechariah 14. And his feet shall stand in that day. What day? The day of the Lord upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall cleave, and the midst thereof toward thee, it's going to split down the middle. That's where we get that from. Acts 2, verse 19. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs of the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. So, we look at all of these and we see the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the second coming of Christ. It's not Sunday. It's the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. When John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So, now watch this. Get this. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Y'all remember I drew this just a little bit ago. Let me see. John is writing about 95 or so AD. That means 95 AD, after the birth. AD does not mean after death. It means after the birth. There's John. Y'all see him? John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, how in the world did he get from there to over there on the Lord's day? Before John ever wrote anything in the book of Revelation, he already saw it.
Right.
I'm fixing to tell you what happened, then I'll prove with the Bible. God picked John up and took him into the future and put him right there so he saw everything before he wrote the first word. You say, well, I ain't never heard that before. Well, that's why he's scratching his head up there. He's like, man, what in the world has happened? Right. He picks him up. He sees everything, the tribulation, all the seals, all the vials, all the trumpets, everything. He comes to the day of the Lord. And Jesus says, hey, write. He's standing right here in the day of the Lord. He says, write the things that thou hast seen, the things you are seeing, and the things that you shall. That's how he writes. You say, well, this ain't the first time that's ever happened. Remember, I told y'all, old folks used to read the Bible. Our grandmas, our grandpas used to read. All them old phrases come from the Bible. Y'all ever heard, can't get blood out of a turnip? Can't get blood out of a turnip? That's the story of Cain and Abel. Cain brought the turnip. God says, can't get blood out of that. Okay, y'all might leave that. All right. Okay. All right. How many of y'all heard this phrase? Boy, I'll pick you up by the hair of your head. Now that's in the Bible. Ezekiel, chapter number 8, and I got it on the screen because especially some of those books in the Old Testament, it'd take 30 minutes to find. Ezekiel 8 and verse 3, and he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth. Y'all see that? And the heaven, and brought me into the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looked toward the north, and so on and so forth. So, in the Old Testament, God put Ezekiel up by the hair of the head and went and showed him in the future Jerusalem. I'll give you another one. You can turn this if you want to. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter number... Hang on. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is what it says. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. This is Paul talking. And he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Apostle Paul, God picked him up. Took him up in the fire, showed him some stuff that when Paul got back, he couldn't even write it down. He says, I can't. It's unspeakable words. I don't know if I was in the body, out of the body. I can't tell. Only God knows where I was in. But I went somewhere. So this is not the first time that's ever happened. So, God picks up John. I don't know if he picked him up by the hair of the head or not. I don't know. But he picked him up and took him in the future and let him write things that he actually saw with his own eyes in the day of the Lord. Y'all see that? All right. Revelation chapter 1, and I think that's about as far as we can go tonight. We can go further. I'm just